Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
The universe and everything.
Science tells us that there is an inner fragility in the entire universe. And we share the same fragility.
What our bodies, our planet, and the cosmos have in common, and how facing that can move us to make them more resilient. Except the cosmos. On this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Join us for On the Media, Saturday mornings at 7 on KSJE, Farmington. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Well, minutes past 8 o'clock. It is a Wednesday morning, the 10th day of August, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM when you're traveling or living in the Durango, Colorado area, and of course everywhere else on the planet. From our website, you can always tune in at ksje.com. We also welcome our visual radio viewers this morning. This is, of course, a community-supported visual radio station. So we welcome our viewers who are watching this video streaming live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. Good morning, everyone. Glad that you are with us. Coming up this morning, we're getting a healthcare update from our guest from San Juan Regional Medical Center this morning. Dr. Brad Greenberg will be joining us. Dr. Bob Underwood, of course, as well. An update from the hospital about things we haven't talked about in a while, like COVID-19. How are the cases going in San Juan County? How is the hospital handling these cases? Things along that line and some of the treatments and the latest vaccine and variant news. Also, we'll talk a bit about monkeypox and some of the other healthcare issues that are cropping up these days. So that's the big topic this morning that we hope you will stay tuned and join us for here in the next few moments. Then, of course, later on this morning, we will get another lesson from the one and only Ron Price about life in the sandbox. We've given Ron the summer off, but he's about ready to rejoin us. So we're looking forward to that, but we'll pull an episode from the archives and share it with you this morning at 8:50 a.m. right here on KSJE. Next hour, of course, Mick Hess will be here. He's back from vacation. More classical music on our classical music program, Roving with the Arts, beginning after the news at 9:06 a.m. here on KSJE this morning. At 10:30, it is Right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program. Tracy Hales is speaking about the book Forged in Darkness with the author Dr. Joanna LaPrade. That's coming up today at 10:30 on KSJE. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, KSJE publishes podcasts almost every single day. You can always find some local content wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts, Pandora, Amazon Music, the list goes on and on. So we invite you to check it out and enjoy a podcast and subscribe and be alerted to new offerings from KSJE. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is mostly sunny this morning. Temperature right now 70 degrees. We're expecting a partly sunny day today, a pretty low chance of maybe a scattered shower popping up. It's about a 20% chance today and tomorrow. 92 for a high today. Maybe another chance of rain overnight tonight with a low of 68 degrees, 91 for high tomorrow, 67 overnight, 90s for the next several days, with a little higher chance of rain beginning Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and into early next week, and overnight lows, as you can see, in the upper 60s. Joining me this morning to give us an update on COVID-19, some of the variants around, other health issues arriving in our state. Dr. Brent Greenberg is back with us from San Juan Regional Medical Center, the emergency medical physician, also chief medical officer from the hospital. Dr. Robert Underwood is joining us this morning as well. And gentlemen, good morning and thank you for joining me. I appreciate both of you being with us.
Morning, Scott. It's good to be on.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Dr. Greenberg, good to have you back. It seems like we were talking pretty regularly during the peak of COVID-19. We haven't had you both on the program for a while, not because we haven't wanted to talk with you, but just because the COVID cases have kind of been in decline, and we're also grateful about that. Dr. Underwood, can you give us kind of an update on census at the hospital these days? I know it's still around, and we shouldn't forget about it because it's still here. It's still infecting people, but certainly not in the numbers that we saw 6 months ago or so.
Well, that's quite accurate, Scott. And we are seeing a little bit of a decrease in our county in terms of total numbers. And overall, our hospital census is 15 COVID cases right now. We have one patient intubated in our ICU with COVID currently. About, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, we were actually up to 30 patients in the hospital at that time. And that was kind of the peak of at least we think it was the peak of this BA5 variant that we're seeing around in our community. We are seeing it starting to decrease both statewide and within San Juan County as well.
Gotcha. Well, that's good news that it's decreasing again, but like I said, it's still out there. And Dr. Greenberg, again, as folks present at the hospital with some of these variants, I mean, are they automatically admitted, or are they still, it just depends on the patient, I suppose, whether they have a mild case of COVID or something that needs more medical attention?
Well, I think that the vast majority of these patients that do present with COVID-19 are actually not admitted to the hospital. I think those folks tend to weather the illness, you know, outside of the hospital environment just fine. But those folks that are at increased vulnerability, those folks with chronic illnesses, the elderly, et cetera, those folks can still, even with the BA5 variant, have kind of a rough road. And so, as Dr. Underwood said, we did have a higher number of folks in the hospital, but this actually is a much smaller proportion of those folks that we suspect are infected in the community. And our percent positivities, like those positive tests out in the community, were very high during this last surge. We had a 24.7% 14-day average, which sort of put us in the running with other pandemic waves that we've had in the past, but our inpatient burden has been less. We're very grateful for that, and that's most likely because of large numbers of folks have been vaccinated and have been exposed to the illness in the past, and I think also we continue to offer services like outpatient remdesivir infusions or monoclonal antibody infusions, and of course the oral antivirals such as Paxlovid are also available, and all of these interventions together I think are driving a decrease in the inpatient burden for those folks in the hospital, and that's all very good. And we continue to do our best as a regional hospital to accept patients and transfer, especially when we are getting some COVID-19 related transfers from outside facilities. And we followed those. Looks like last week we received 6 COVID-related transfers from other facilities, and so this remains a problem. But we are, I think, are in a good position to weather this current wave, and we always keep one eye towards the future and what it may hold.
Right, and just to be clear, Dr. Greenberg, those transfers that are coming from other areas of the Southwest, perhaps, that have a higher percentage of cases and their hospitals are more full than ours is that what would bring a patient to you?
Well, there are many reasons why patients could be transferred to San Juan Regional Medical Center, but most often it's not just because they have COVID. Those facilities can handle some COVID patients also, but they may have other either a higher severity of illness or a complicated picture of their medical comorbidities, et cetera, that would require higher levels of care. So these facilities, you know, we perform this function as a regional healthcare center routinely. And so we'll continue to do that for COVID patients and for non-COVID patients.
Understood. Thank you for explaining that a bit more for me. Appreciate that very much. And Dr. Underwood, with these variants that are coming out, I mean, I think this is maybe kind of how how things are in this, and I hate to say the term new normal, but here we are, right? COVID is not going away. I think we realized that pretty early on, and that this is something we're going to have to live with moving forward. And as these variants come out, I know there's more being talked about even this month, right? And it's just one of those things that as long as we kind of know how to manage it and take the precautions when we're out and about with other people in large groups, this is kind of what we're dealing with in the healthcare community and everybody else, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And you're right. There are a number of variants that are out there. If you remember, some time ago, we talked about variants of concern and variants of interest. Variants of interest are those that they're starting to see. Variants of concern are those that start to spread and they think may cause a higher disease burden on healthcare organizations or on populations. So BA5 is the most recent one that we think we've been seeing here in our local community. There's some talk of a 2.75, which may be starting to spread and they think may come kind of into the fall, which is when we normally see respiratory infections. We're trying to track along. The definition of something being endemic is either it is at a constant state or it's a predictable pattern. And although COVID has been around for a couple of years now, we don't know if we've really got a predictable pattern yet. But most respiratory infections are kind of fall and winter time frame. And so we'll pay closer attention as this next winter season kind of comes in to see if these variants or the newer variants are of concern. The other issue is not just the burden of the patients on the healthcare organization, but we've had a number of our own employees, our caregivers here at the hospital who have been infected too, which of course puts a different type of burden of making sure that we got enough people to staff all of the various departments. And it seems to have gone in some pockets. But we're kind of getting onto the other side of that with our own caregivers here at the hospital.
Right. For both of you, the question, are you watching kind of, I guess, just holding your breath with fall approaching as to what the COVID situation will look like? Or do you think we've learned enough about the virus and any type of variant to be able to kind of meet it and keep folks pretty healthy no matter what is in the future?
I would say it's a combination of both. Of course, we're a lot better prepared for what it may hold because we understand what the disease looks like. We understand a lot better how to treat it. As Dr. Greenberg just pointed out, we have a lot of treatment options that were not present previously. Paxlovid is probably one of the big ones because it's an oral medication that most people could take at home, and it has a very significant decrease in the need for hospitalization or death in the patients that do get COVID. So all of those are going to decrease the potential burden as we see it come into the next season. But again, we don't know if there's enough of a pattern right now to say, yes, this is what we expect or we do anticipate it will happen. We think the chances are, but we don't know for sure exactly what the next season is going to hold.
Right. Dr. Greenberg, what's your thoughts on that?
I strongly agree with what Dr. Underwood is saying. I think it's a little bit of both. I think that now that we have increased availability and effectiveness for things like vaccines and treatments, we do need to focus again on some of the sort of the core concepts in public health disease mitigation, though. And that for COVID, even as it evolves into an endemic illness, we need to understand, especially as we get together and we do things like send kids back to school and have frequent gatherings and whatnot, we need to revisit a rational approach to testing, quarantine, isolation, and selective use of masking in high-risk environments. So I think these basic questions, are important to revisit to make sure that we understand how COVID-19 is going to impact us as a society moving forward. And it becomes less of a big obstacle and more of a known hazard. And that just means let's use the tools that we know work, but let's deploy them only when necessary. And let's deploy them when necessary in the context of these other prevention and mitigation tools as well. So I think, again, holding our breath a little bit for what's going to happen tomorrow and in the coming weeks, but let's stay positive and think about how we can live with COVID-19, but take the rational precautions necessary to mitigate the impact in our own community.
And Dr. Greenberg, let me ask you about vaccines, because we've talked about that a lot in the past. There's, I think, some word out about maybe a new work on a new booster, maybe that's specifically maybe designed for some of these more recent variants than the original COVID-19 virus. And so is that something that you think we'll keep seeing and maybe keep offering to the general public to get boosters with something that will maybe really help protect more against some of these variants that are coming out?
Scott, those are great questions. I think that there is a polyvalence, so a vaccine that addresses both the original wild type variant of the COVID-19 virus as well as Omicron. So this polyvalent vaccine, there's some discussion about having it available this fall. There's some concern that it may arrive, you know, quote unquote, too late for a fall surge. But I think as soon as it's available, has been documented and demonstrated to be effective and safe, I think that then that's great for that vaccine to arrive on the scene. That may take the place of boosters, but I think that some of this, I know that it can be somewhat frustrating, but I do think that this vaccine understanding for optimal pacing and intervals is still being developed. We're still learning what's gonna happen and figuring out what's gonna be the best approach. So I do anticipate that we will likely have interval boosters, but it's really not entirely clear what the frequency would be. And hopefully these polyvalent vaccines will arrive and provide an increased degree of protection for those people who choose to be vaccinated.
Thank you very much. And to both of you again, Dr. Under, we'll start with you. It's still your belief, and the data backs it up, I think, that folks who are vaccinated are less likely to be admitted into the hospital if they do become infected with COVID-19. Is that still holding true even today?
Yes, it is. It decreases the severity of the disease once someone acquires it. We are definitely seeing that. But yes, you can get the disease. But if you remember that it was one of the things that we talked about and we kind of talked about today is decreasing the burden on healthcare.
Right.
So that we have the capacity to take care of those patients who really need it. If you remember back last November, we had over 100 COVID patients in-house at one time. And that's the kind of thing we're hoping to avoid as this next season kind of comes in. I can give a personal example. I had COVID about 4 weeks ago, and it was about 3 days, and then I was fine.
And your symptoms weren't too severe during that 3 days?
Not too severe at all.
Yeah, good. Well, we're glad that to hear that, and glad that you're back and feeling well. But we keep hearing that, and I just wanted to reiterate that to our audiences that even though we haven't heard a lot about the vaccines, that they're still out there and they're still effective, it sounds like. Dr. Greenberg, I know you and I have talked about vaccines for a long time, but it seems like that's still the way to go, right? To avoid serious illness.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I strongly would endorse folks that are eligible for vaccination. I believe that most everyone is to, go get vaccinated for COVID-19 and other normal vaccine preventable illnesses. So I think that would be great, and it would absolutely reduce the burden on hospitals and healthcare facilities.
Let me pick up on that and ask you, Dr. Greenberg, about it is back to school season. And so, again, you know, schools require vaccines for students to go to school and things along that line. And it seems to me for decades there really wasn't any question about vaccines and getting children vaccinated to go back to school and use that kind of overall protection. There maybe is a bit more pushback these days, but what are you seeing? What are you hearing in your capacity and in your dealings with patients about just regular run-of-the-mill, you know, normal vaccines that we would consider just a regular thing to do as a productive member of society?
Well, I think that historically, you know, in the last several decades, I think vaccinations really did become sort of a routine piece of what you did before school and whatnot. But in the same couple decades, there's been a lot of evolving pushback with science that essentially has been debunked about link between chronic illnesses such as autism and vaccination. And I think that it's really important to follow the guidance of pediatricians and physicians of these individuals to really get all these questions that parents and young adults may have about vaccination, to get the facts about this, because I think with measles and now with this discussion about polio in New York, you know, there are significant public health consequences to large portions of the population not being vaccinated. So I hope that folks are able to discuss with their physicians their concerns, get their questions answered, and make really well-educated science-based decisions about what makes sense for them as individuals and also for their families. But I do think that going back to school is a great time to have those conversations. And I think that it'd be important for folks to really strongly consider vaccination and whether or not it's right for them, because it is right for society at large and for the populations as a whole.
And that's a great reminder. I think we've always tried to tell folks, if they had any questions about any vaccine, to have that conversation with your primary care physician, your health provider, who knows your case, who knows your family, and that's probably the best person to take advice from. Maybe not, especially not me on the radio, but certainly they can talk about specifics and what's going on in your family. Dr. Underwood, I wanted to ask you too a little bit about, we mentioned this polio incident or outbreak in New York, perhaps one case of polio, which I think for a long time we thought was eradicated in the United States, but that may be linked to a vaccination, the person not being vaccinated. But I don't know if folks remember, maybe, and I don't think we remember, it's a little bit before our time, just how serious polio was back in before the vaccine, and how amazing it was to be able to eradicate this disease that really did cripple a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got a family member who is older, was on crutches for most of his life, and is now in a wheelchair, that had polio as a child. And yes, that was a big institution, you know, when you saw especially children who were affected by this debilitating disease. It really did a lot to do great things for the vaccine efforts within the United States. You know, polio is one of those diseases that, you know, everybody thinks if you get polio, you get paralyzed, but actually only one in four will even have like flu-like symptoms. So three people may actually carry the disease of polio and not even know that they're infected. It's only one in 200 that's infected who ends up with serious neurologic deficits. So it can spread very easily without people even knowing they're infected. So the vaccination for polio is incredibly important. I can remember, I think at 5 years old, eating a sugar cube. It was an oral vaccine at the time. And how important it is when you saw, especially like I said, these children who were so significantly affected by it. So there is the case in New York that we think that is out there, but that's why a lot of articles you'll read will say, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg, because so many people can be infected and not even know that they are.
Right, right. Very interesting. Well, gentlemen, I don't want to run out of time without asking you also about the elephant in the room, or the monkey in the room, as it were, and that is monkeypox. We do have at least a confirmed case in New Mexico, but I don't think we've seen anything locally. Can you both confirm that for us, that you haven't seen any cases of monkeypox at the hospital?
There's been no monkeypox at San Juan Regional Medical Center.
Gotcha.
that we know of right now. There was one case that turned out to be shingles when it was looked at more specifically.
Gotcha. Thank you for confirming that. And Dr. Greenberg, can you talk a little bit about this disease of monkeypox? I guess it's transmissible, and it's we seem to be hearing more about it. Obviously, it's been around for a while, but it seems to be spreading more easily, at least in certain communities, and maybe that's worth noting as well. But is that something that the general public should be aware of?
I think that monkeypox is very much, you know, in the media right now. I think it's a disease that's been around for quite some time. I think that, it tends to be spread, at least historically, from direct contact, very close or prolonged contact often with close skin-to-skin contact. And that's very consistent with previous outbreaks as well. There is some concern about fomite transmission in heavily contaminated areas. And also there's some concern with some preliminary data for this transmission about droplet or aerosol transmission. So we're approaching these folks that have either fever or a rash which is unexplained, and we're having folks do things that unfortunately now after the pandemic they're very familiar with, wear a gown, wear a mask, and that'll help prevent any kind of other transmission. Now, this ongoing worldwide monkeypox outbreak is also showing some new things, perhaps some asymptomatic transmission. And so we're really kind of still waiting to see and trying to engage a defensive posture while we understand what's going on. So there is a previously existing vaccination. It's the smallpox vaccination, which actually has some cross-reactivity with monkeypox. And I think there is a targeted monkeypox vaccination, which is very limited as far as its availability. So there are some interventions, and I think there's going to be some increasing momentum as the number of cases increase throughout the United States and around the world for what we're going to do to try to mitigate any sort of further spread of monkeypox.
And it seems like we're having some of these same conversations again from a public health standpoint, right, about ramping up vaccines for monkeypox now, or testing for monkeypox, and it seems like we just don't have enough. And I can certainly understand that the country can't be prepared for every possible outbreak of every possible virus to have enough things, you know, tests and vaccines on hand just in case something like this were to happen. But it is kind of a difficult job to be in, I guess, to try to think about what's going to be the next thing that's going to require a public health attention. Dr. Greenberg, is that something that public health folks are talking about these days, of what's next?
I think that's always what they're trying to do, but I think monkeypox has gone from an isolated event, which is what's happened in previous outbreaks of monkeypox or individual cases, and now they're looking at much more of a broad-based approach. And we've seen individual states declare public health emergencies related to monkeypox, especially with high focuses of illness in New York and California. And so I think we're probably going to see increasing momentum with that moving forward.
Gotcha. Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate both of your time. Before I let you go this morning, maybe just some final words of advice from each of you. Dr. Underwood, we'll start with you, of just what folks should be maybe preparing for this fall, as we mentioned, back to school and things along that line. Of course, flu season always happens, it seems, in the fall, winter. And so just any words of advice for folks as we enter into the fall of 2022. It certainly looks different than it did last fall, that's for sure, and we're grateful for that.
Yeah, we're very grateful for that, and we're hopeful that we won't see the types of issues that we did see last fall going in through November especially. So overall, I would say talk to your primary care physician, as we had already discussed. Make sure that you are up to date on all of your vaccinations. As flu season comes in, of course, flu vaccines are something that we would recommend. But check all of your shot records and make sure that you're kind of up to date. Be flexible, because we don't obviously know exactly what's going to happen as we come into the next season. And there will be changes that will come about through public health measures. So be flexible with those things that come about as the various infections may become more prominent within our community. You know, it's really important that we try to slow down the spread across our community, regardless of which disease we're talking about, so that we are better prepared as a hospital to take care of our community needs.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Underwood. Dr. Greenberg, what would your words of advice be for our audiences this morning?
I think let's focus on staying healthy, and that'll help help any individual weather any particular illness, if it's COVID-19 or anything else that may have come across them in the community. And I think also let's continue to make good decisions about targeted interventions. So let's make sure we wash our hands, make sure we're covering our cough, and if you're sick, please stay home. And let's get back to school. Let's have a great, productive school year. I also hope that this fall doesn't look like last fall. but we will do our best at San Juan Regional to rise to the occasion to make sure that our community is well cared for, regardless of the circumstance.
Well, and we've seen you do that time and time again. Everyone at the hospital has risen to the occasion when necessary. So thank you both and everyone for doing that for the community. And I thank you both for your time this morning. I know how busy you are. I don't think you're quite as busy as you were last year, so we're grateful for that. But still, thank you for spending some time with us this morning and sharing your expertise, both of you.
It's good to be here, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Greenberg, always a pleasure to have you on as well. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You bet. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center here with me on KSJE.
KSJE is proud to support the Summer Terrace Concert Series, Saturdays at the Farmington Museum. Saturday, August 20th, rock, blues, and country with Black Velvet. Saturday, August 27th, jazz with Didat. The Summer Terrace Concert Series at the Farmington Museum, 3041 East Main Street, Saturdays this summer from 6 to 7:30 p.m.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.